And welcome back to 20 Minutes with Chad. Today we got Chad on the... We got actually have topics for him today.
Woo-hoo!
So let's go right into our first topic. It's a big topic for me. Why do you think most entrepreneur filmmakers make indie films? I mean, horror films.
Horror film because there's an audience already. That's why I always get so random. Because I aim for that because you have an audience already for it. It's very niche. So basically, there's a business and a marketing side. If you go at it at a business aspect, you got to figure out, okay, what do I need? What do they want? Because you're more customer-based. It's sort of like, I hate using this because I hate, when the whole music thing, Napster. People want what they want. So why not focus that way and think as a business, yeah, I'm an artist, I'm creative, I want to tell stories, you can still do that. But you need to go in as a business-minded person because that's what you're doing. You're selling a product. You're doing a service. It's not like a lot of people who are artists me. I'm like, well, if you want to do that, either be a hobbyist or be a painter. That's how I look at that. And then even with the entrepreneurial horror, as I call it, entrepreneur filmmaking, that could be any genre because every genre has an audience. They always have a niche. There's always going to be something there. You will always have an audience. I feel like a lot of horror films nowadays, they suck. That was because they always talk about gore effects and all these different things. And I'm like, it's a tool. It's not – people want to see stories. Like, that's what cracked me up. When someone said Night Night wasn't horror enough, I'm like, wait a minute. But it had a story. It had three acts. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It had – yeah, it's like – I wouldn't call it an Academy Award-winning movie, but it had every element. Like, Dread Central had put it the best way. Like, their review was like, what Chad did in three and a half minutes, most 90-minute films couldn't do. And that's, the most accurate, one of my favorite compliments, because I don't usually take compliments at all. That review was so spot on. And that's why I look at all these horror films. They're only doing special effects. And that's what cracked me up when this horror convention that said that to me. It's like, well, it's not horror enough. And I'm like, what defines horror? Like Halloween didn't have a lot of blood and guts. There was a story. Same with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and these films that they're retrospecting. That's what kills me. Evil Dead, all this stuff. I'm like, these movies they had stories. They had a point A, B, and a C. I'm like, it just blows my mind where I sit there and I'm like, so if you look at it as a business sense, that's what I did. For Night Night, 1980s, people have this nostalgia right now for the 80s. People have nostalgia about the monster under the bed sequence. There's shoot, that's even from my childhood where I remember I was like, oh my God, there's a monster under my bed. It has to be living in your imagination. People have that nostalgia. That's why there's so many reboots right now. And people look at it oh, Hollywood's running out of ideas. I'm like, yeah, you can look at that side. There's two sides of a coin. That one side, yeah, they're running out of ideas maybe. But the other side, people want nostalgia. They want stuff that they like. So that's how I look on that question.
James Gunn. Getting fired.
That was the stupidest thing. I can't stand Disney anyways. I probably would never, ever work for Disney anyways since doing certain things. I'm just it sucks because Disney's buying up everything. And they try to have this, squeaky clean image. When you look at their past, it's not squeaky clean. And as a comedian, even though I thought his jokes weren't funny, there are jokes. Once again, it goes almost to that whole thing, Roseanne Barr, and anyone who uses jokes. It's like, everyone's like, oh my God, it's opinions, oh, it's racist, da 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 da. Everyone's looking to be offended right now, and it's like, they're all overly sensitive. That's why I have a hard time where I don't even want to go out and do comedy because people are waiting to be offended for something. It's like, oh my God, he told a joke about how he flushed the toilet. Oh my God, I can't believe that. I'm sitting there, I'm like, he looked at me weird. I'm like, what, I blinked? Oh, he blinks too much. He must be sexist. Oh, he blinks too much. Oh, he must hate black people. I'm like, I sit there. I'm like, what? Like, where do you get point A to point B? I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah, his jokes weren't funny. I wouldn't do those kind of jokes. Like, I am a shock comic, and even that kind of went against my own jokes. But once again, it's jokes. Like, he actually didn't go out and do it. That's what cracks me up. I'm like, he didn't go out and do it. That's why, like, I'm not a big Trump supporter. I'm going to use Trump as an example. Not a big supporter. Everyone refers to him as Hitler. I'm like, well, he hasn't killed 6 million people yet, so he's good to me. I'm like, I have no beef with him. I don't think he's a Hitler. Maybe some dictator wannabe, but that's about it. But everyone's like, oh, he's Hitler. He's tearing families apart. I'm like, no, those are laws that were made years ago by all the other Bushes and the Clintons. I'm like, no, like, people just believe every little clickbait Facebook social media opinion. I'm like, people don't read books no more and read the news. It makes my head hurt. This is coming from a millennial. I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial, but a millennial.
How does Chad pick his Amazon movies every night?
That's a good question, because Amazon has the worst, like, movie selection process ever. Like, I just think of a movie that like a weird, like, what was it? I was watching something, like, okay, someone recommended a weird, like, 1980s horror movie. And I was like, okay, what's close to that? Where I clicked it, and they always give you those recommendations below. And I look at the recommendations, and I'm like, okay, what seems interesting? Well, I haven't seen that one. I clicked that one, and I watched that. That's how I do it. I watch that, and then the next day, I look at the suggestions on that, click on suggestions from that, and kind of do it that way, because it's not like Netflix where it's organized and broken down genres and stuff like that. And I actually feel like Amazon has more of a movie selection, where Netflix is more television streaming and stuff. Some of their movies are good. Like, I watch something, but Netflix is starting to lose their licensing for movies because everyone's deciding to do streaming. And especially with, like what was it? Even Apple's getting into streaming, where they have their own shows. It's been, like, I actually pitched something last year. I was trying to pitch something because they had, like, $1 billion they're trying to spend on, like, all these new shows and stuff. So I'm like, all right. But, yeah, no, that's how I picked the Amazon things. Yeah. Better movies on Amazon, better shows on Netflix. Hulu, I think, still needs to catch up on some stuff, but I'm not a fan of Hulu.
I think we have to revisit it, a question that at least I have. Has Trad's favorite delivery driver woman returned yet?
She came back once, but I haven't really ordered anything because it's like I'm broke. I'm an artist. So it's like soon I'm going to be working like Santa Monica Boulevard during donut hour. That's a Hollywood. That's a Hollywood thing. It's me going out in a wig and blowjobs and stuff.
Okay, that's where I took it. So I was kind of like, I'm not sure.
You know, they'd be like, donut hour, wait, 3 in the morning, because donut hour, where cops go get donuts at 3 in the morning. It's a California thing. People sit there looking like, geez, Chad, it's so specific in detail. And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't used DoorDash as much. Everything's so expensive. Like, restaurants here, like, I used to get, like, Taco Bell, because, like, I'm away from a lot of, like, fast food places, because I live in a Jewish neighborhood, so a lot of, like, restaurants and fast food aren't allowed, which is really weird because it's not kosher. So I usually get, like, Taco Bell. Well, originally it was, like, $2, $3, you know, delivery fee. It's now, like, $9.99 for delivery fee. Everything went up because the minimum wage went up. So I was like, nope, I guess I ain't going to be getting Taco Bell for a while. So, yeah, so that's pretty much that.
Have we had any fun at Starbucks lately that we don't know about?
Starbucks? No, just the drinking coffee and prune juice thing. That's just...
Really? So we're not going to talk about what happened in the bathroom and at all? with the two women in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, that was totally freaking random. Like, I was like sitting there and I see one chick going in there. I'm like, all right, I didn't think about it, drinking. And I see another chick head there. I'm like, that's two chicks. Like, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden I hear this lady going up, like complaining that she hears people having sex in the bathroom. I'm like, wait, there's two chicks in the bathroom. What? And then the manager started banging on the door and it's still going on. And I was like, wow. I was like, damn it, why didn't they ask me to film it or something? I could at least make some money off this. But I just thought it was funny, yeah. This is an outdoor Starbucks. So there's like only outdoor seating, and then there's the outdoor bathroom, and then it's the little thingy for the workers to make coffee and give it to the customers. So no one really paid attention to it. Like, if it was like an indoor one, I think it would have been a little more like attention to it. But yeah, I was like, a bunch of homeless people usually go in and use that restroom too and everything. So I'm like, it's like gross, but I was just like, wow. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's great. Yeah.
How do you forget about that? Does just that much fun stuff happens in your life? You forget a random Starbucks experience?
Yeah, I mean, I do like between like customers at my day job to like walking to the street. Like, people are just like, there's so many characters in LA where I'm sitting there, I'm like, I could probably be like three comedy specials from all the retarded people that's in LA. Like, it's crazy. Like, I always get people like conversations. Like, today I went to Starbucks and this old dude in a wheelchair rolls up and is like, oh, are you a businessman? I'm like, no. He's like, you're here like every day. I'm like, yeah. He's like, what are you? I'm like, well, I'm a writer and a comedian and a director. He's like, oh, I wrote two novels. I was like, oh, that's cool. And, I usually keep my earbuds in because everyone in LA does something in the business. It's like, that's what kills me. It's like, the one thing I hate about LA is like, it's a bubble and it attracts hella negativity on all the fakes and the flakes and the sharks trying to scam people. So when you leave, you're sitting there like, what? Like, you hate LA. Not only is it a freaking desert by the ocean and the horrible humidity right now, like, my balls and my inner thighs right now, it's like two junior high students dry humping. Like, come on, break it up, break it up. It's like, jeez.
Well, more things you don't seem to want to discuss, but I'm going to discuss. Chad went to the movies and had a bad movie experience.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, started my boycott of movie theaters. I was going to actually see Deadpool 2. And I usually go every Tuesday because there's, like, a bargain price. And usually the manager knows who I am. There's, like, a bag policy. You can't bring a backpack or anything. My backpack's not that big, which cracks me up even more. But women could bring purses, though, which that just blows my mind. You can't bring a backpack, but a woman could bring a big-ass purse. Nice. This manager, who I didn't even know, is like, excuse me, you know you can't bring a backpack. And I'm like, he saw me coming in, purchased a ticket, and go to concessions, but didn't tell me any time beforehand. So I'm already, like, spent my money going to the movie theater, and he's going, I'm like, well, I could show you the bag. I only have two notepads in there in my computer. Like, there's nothing in there. And he's like, well, I can't legally look at it. I'm like, well, if you have the sign you just pointed to me, you could look in my bag because you just stated, well, I can't do that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, there's two things going to happen here. You're either going to look at my bag and let me go see my movie, or you're going to refund me all the stuff that I just bought so I can go to a different movie theater. He's like, well, I'm not going to refund all the stuff. I'm like, okay, once again, you're either going to refund me my stuff or let me go see a movie. Well, I'll let you go this time. And I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be the last time I come here. So ever since, and I even mentioned the corporate, and corporate didn't even respond. So people like Cinemark theaters, they could kiss my ass. Like, that's the worst. Like, I don't even like AMC. Like, AMC rips people off. Arclight is too expensive. Arclight's a cinema down here. It's not in Canada. And plus, you don't want, probably because it's ran by Scientologists. But, yeah, so I was sitting there, and I was like, I'm done. So I'm, like, really pro-streaming, and a lot of my filmmaker friends are, like, video stores and DVDs, and, like, I used to make a living. I'm like, Dude, I haven't made a living off of DVD sales since 2009. So whatever video store, like, there's not many video stores around. And I'm like, either evolve or quit the business. I was like, one of my buddies, he complains about it all the time because streaming always, this is the whole thing, goes back to independent filmmaking, where independent filmmaking, where no matter if you financially fund it yourself, you have to deal with distributors. They go back and they re-edit your movie, retitle your movie, do advertising. Yeah, like I have a buddy who just said his movie, and it was originally was called, Troy. He did Stirring, and the company changed the name and the poster, but they didn't actually change anything in the movie, though. But that's fairly rare. But the distributors go back there and they change stuff. Like my other buddies, he did a film called Samurai Cop 2. They changed the title, and it had a lot of nudity. They cut out a lot of the nudity, a lot of the violence, and turned a what would have been an NC-17 anyways into a PG-13 hot mess. That's pretty much what it is. And it was, yeah, Amazon Prime did that to them. Like, Amazon did it, and they cut it and changed it. And it was just like, wow. Because people want their stuff distributed. And I'm like, why? This is the one thing I don't get. And this goes back to the entrepreneur filmmaker. You know, you can make your own website. You just gotta find a way to host a video and make sure you have all that information. And you can stream your own movies and charge it. That's why you have PayPal, Venmo, all these different money and collecting things. Have them pay that, watch your streaming through your website and use your social media to promote it. Like, you don't need any middleman. You don't need to be like, yeah, you won't be like the richest person. But like, say, for example, I have almost 3,000 people on my Twitter. If I get $100, well, I'm saying that, but hypothetically, if you get like $100 from 3,000 people, somehow, like selling them something, giving them something, that's almost $300,000 right there. That's a lot. You see what I mean? Like, it's like, people don't get that. And I sit down, I'm like, why do you need to pay a company like Distributor to put your stuff on Amazon? But companies now get a percentage. That's why they want people like Distributor, Real Juice, Quiver, all these companies that you have to go to pay to get their stuff on sites like iTunes, Apple, like all these different things. So that's what kills me. I'm just like, people need to stop doing that. I'm a hipster poser. Oh yeah, indie film. That's why indie filmmaking's dead. And it's not what it was like when like John Cassavetes did it, or like the best example of a true independent person was Robert Rodriguez, El Mariachi. Everything about that was independent, completely independent, independently financed, independently released, independently, like, independent spirit, because that was just like, that's what independent is. Then, of course, he went off and did a bunch of Hollywood stuff, but now he's back, and I call him an entrepreneurial filmmaker himself because he has his own studio in Texas, does his own films. He technically, like, Troublemaker Studios, that's what it is, Troublemaker Studios. He releases the movies through himself. He even has his own network. I'm like, and people sit there, I'm like, yeah, he might have some connections here and there, but it's all him. So a lot of people need to go into looking at now as an entrepreneur, not I'm an indie artist. Oh, I'm outside the system. I'm so cool. I'm a hipster. Yeah. And I'm like, well, if you want to, yeah, good luck. You're not ever going to make any money. So I sit there and I just kind of shake my head. Like, I want to know details of people always, like, use me as an example on Twitter and stuff. Like, oh, Chad says indie filmmaking's dead. Like, I get that a lot where, like, film festivals hate that, too. I think film festivals are dead, too.
Well, Chad, you've filled up your time wisely, as you always. And I'll talk to you again soon. Goodbye.
Have a good one.